Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tasca.
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 I have a task for you, Brian. Get over to Strange Brew, go get you a nice coffee, maybe go to Churn and Spoon, get you the Thunder and Lightning. Tell them you want the Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
See what happens. They'll likely say, what?
And then you can tell them exactly what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. And be happy.
You know what's funny about that Churn and Spoon thing is, like, my favorite thing to get there is not the Thunder and Lightning.
Mine neither, but it's very good.
Good. It's very good, but I love that cookie butter ice cream.
Oh, yeah. It's delicious. Actually, my favorite thing to get there is not the Oreo cheesecake. It's cookies and cream. Mm-hmm. And it's the cookies and cream milkshake. Their milkshakes are fantastic.
We've got to stop talking about this.
I know. I'm hungry.
Car and go. I don't need to do that.
I went to one of Starkville's 12 Mexican restaurants for lunch on Sunday. And it was still very good. I mean, we hate Mexican restaurants, but, like, what we want is just no more additional Mexican restaurants. It doesn't mean we don't like Mexican restaurants.
We're good with the ones we have.
Yes. I don't need another one.
Yeah, I agree. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you're not cooking out this weekend, well, let somebody else do it for you. Let them be the ones to put the steak on the grill for you at one of our great steakhouses everywhere across the state. Every community has one. I saw a TikTok that got rated its best 5 steakhouses in the state of Mississippi, and I was just like, I want to go eat at those places. So we'll see if we can't make that happen. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise. I don't know what maroon and white is. I like that, though, maroon and white.
Maroon and white?
Yeah. We should have a segment where we just talk about Mississippi State stuff that we know to be correct. It's called Maroon and White. I like that.
Done.
What's right is not wearing the banner M. What's right is wearing the interlocking, the state script, or the M over S. You and I were at Two Brothers for the Tip-Off Society event there. Very pleased with all of the non-banner M polos and pullovers and hats that we saw at that event. And you can get all of those things at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. We got a tweet today, you and I, Robbie. Somebody took our advice and hit up Sunday brunch at Restaurant Tyler. I'm sure they had a great time. Restaurant Tyler Sunday brunch is the best in town. There's no question about that. But if it's lunch you're after, if it's dinner you're after, or if it is that Sunday brunch, you make an easy decision. If you want the best meal in town, you just go over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you want answers, you need them immediately, you can't afford to wait, That's why you need the level of service that Priority One Bank provides for you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. The more things change, Robbie Faulk, the more they stay the same. And it was definitely a sense of deja vu in the Humphrey Coliseum on Saturday night. Stop me if you've heard this before. Mississippi State plays a back-and-forth game with Kentucky, but in the end, the Bulldogs can't pull it out. 95-90 is the final. I said on, I think it was on Friday, Sports Talk Mississippi, I was like, in the 80s, I feel really good about Mississippi State. In the 90s and the 100s, I don't. And that's where this game ended up going, based on some otherworldly three-point shooting. Give the Kentucky Wildcats the credit they deserve. 16 of 32 from three-point range. That'll win you just about every game you play in. And surprisingly enough, the player we had talked about coming into the game, Kobe Brea, didn't have a great game. Only hit one shot. But Jackson Robinson, big shots from him. I think that's got to be a career high for him. A guy who came in shooting 29% from three-point range, shoots 70% from three-point range, and despite a heroic effort from Cameron Matthews and four other Bulldogs in double figures, State unable to pull it out. Injury issues with Riley Kugel missing most of the game. Foul trouble with Josh Hubbard missing a good chunk of the game. Really the chunk where State was able to get back into it. So I don't know how what that message is. But again, Robbie, just not enough for the Bulldogs to finally get that elusive win over the Kentucky Wildcats. Now 19 straight wins for the Wildcats in this series in the regular season. Just a tough game in front of a packed, excited, super hyped up crowd, but once again, Mississippi State just can't get the job done against the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, it's followed a very similar script. I mean, I leaned over to you at one point and I said, they're playing their style. This is what Kentucky wanted to do. They wanted to get out and run. They wanted to knock down some shots, speed up Mississippi State. And what they did is they took Mississippi State out of their style of play. Mm-hmm. And State was settling for three-pointers. They felt like they had to keep pace. And a lot of that's credit to Kentucky. I think they really kind of stopped up the penetration lanes, mm-hmm. and they wanted State to shoot, even from the early going. They were giving Josh Hubbard space. Some of State's better shooters, they had plenty of space to shoot. They didn't want State getting to the rim, and that's really what they did well in the game. I didn't think State defended extremely well. I think State played really hard in this game. I think the effort was definitely there. The effort is 100% why they stayed in the ballgame. That could have been a runaway for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But Cam Matthews in particular absolutely fueled Mississippi State to stay in the ballgame. It was really crazy, the things that were going against State in this game. Kentucky was – you're basically shutting down Brea. And everybody else was getting hot. They had the power forward stepped out there and hit three threes and late in the ball game. You mentioned the other guy who's shooting 29%, just goes nuts, 7 for 10 from 3-point range. It was unfortunate, you know, like what happened in the game in that regard. And then you have Riley Kugel goes down with an injury in the first half, and then another one in the second half where I think it might have been an ankle. Kugel, I think, would have helped tremendously in this game had he been healthy. Had he been able to play a full two halves of football or basketball, I think that he really would have helped Mississippi State. And unfortunately, you didn't have him. Josh Hubbard didn't have a good night yet again, and he's in foul trouble. But those guys were, for most of the game, kind of absent. And Mississippi State somehow had this a ball game, but unfortunately, you were kind of playing uphill the entire game instead of doing what you've done really well against teams that you were maybe coming in, people didn't think you were going to beat, or that people thought it was going to be a close ball game, Memphis, Pittsburgh, games like that. State has come out and kind of stepped on the gas and really been suffocating on the defensive end in some of those games. This game, they weren't able to kind of dictate their style of play, and I think Kentucky dictated it and stayed ahead of the pace most of the ballgame. The State really put some pressure on them about midway through the second half after falling behind, but they never could get that stop that they needed to get, or if they got a stop, couldn't come down and hit that big shot. I go back to 2 minutes left in the ballgame. State had gotten a couple of stops in a row. Josh Hubbard has a really good look for three. that with an opportunity to go up in the ball game, wasn't able to nail it. They just couldn't get the shots when they needed it or the stops when they needed it. And that's kind of how the game played out. And that's why you're now 1-20 in the last 21 games against Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Chris Jans would agree with you that on both ends of the court, Kentucky played the way they wanted to play.
Yeah.
They got the 3-point looks that they wanted. They played at a high pace, and they forced State to play in more. And I wonder if some of that's just playing Kentucky. I think that teams see that Kentucky uniform, and they're like, we need to get out to a good start, and they take some shots they shouldn't. You know, I think one of the interesting stats, State's 12 of 40 from 3-point range, right? 12 of 37 is like 33%. It's like right at that, right? Well, Nwoko and Murphy are 0 for 3. Nwoko taking a 3-pointer is like, that sums up what you're trying to say, is that he was open, and rather than just look and try to find another guy and run the offense, he thinks, I need to take a shot here. I'm open. I need to do this. Neither of Keyshawn Murphy's 3-pointers were particularly good shots. I mean, he's open, but it's early in the shot clock, and that's just not the guy you want doing that. And so that ends up hurting Mississippi State. State, you know, we'll talk about Hubbard in a minute, but obviously Cam Matthews was really good. I thought Nwoko played really well considering he got into some foul trouble, but and that's two games in a row he's played well but had foul trouble. But 10 points for him. Claudel Harris and R.J. Melendez hit a couple of big shots late in the game. Hubbard is just such an interesting case study right now. And I agree with something I saw on your message board that the loss of Kanye Clary is really hurting Hubbard because Hubbard is not a point guard. He is a two guard who's being put in that role as a point guard because State doesn't really have one right now. You know, with Kugel getting hurt, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, there was a moment in the first half where they had to put Delquan Warren out there. Warren makes a mistake on the last possession of the game, buys the shot fake, goes off his feet, and lets Kentucky get an open look that they hit at the buzzer to push their lead back out to 5. That ends up being a key moment in the game. Hubbard, 5 of 16 shooting, 3 for 11. He hit that first three, and you and I were like, okay, well, you know, maybe he's here for the big game. And then from there, he just couldn't get anything going. He didn't play particularly well defensively, got into foul trouble. And like I said, State was down 14 at one point, and then with Hubbard on the bench, they claw all the way back into the game. I don't think we've seen the best of Josh Hubbard this year at all. And I wonder if part of that is because now he's and Richard Williams brought this up when we talked to him on Friday on Sports Talk Mississippi. You know, this time last year, Josh Hubbard was not the name on the scouting report that everybody circled and said, watch him, watch him, watch him. Now he is. He's the first name on the scouting report. And despite the fact that State has a lot more to compliment him, I think that he has taken on – I think there are times that he takes on too much responsibility. You know, there are some times where there are better looks to be had, but I think he feels like he has to be the one to take them. And I don't know how you fix that because I don't want to break his mentality, right? I want him wanting to take those big shots. I want him with that, you know, that shooter's mentality. But at the same time, you know, in this game in particular, there were some times where his decision-making wasn't as good as it needed to be. We'll put it that way.
And I think, too, I mean, the expectations are so high for him. I think some people are being a little unrealistic with him here. He's in year two. This is kind of the sophomore slump year for a lot of guys. He's still averaging 17 a game. He's still averaging 37% from three. So I understand the sentiment. He's not playing like his best, what we think he can play, but 51-12 assist to turnovers. The guy's still been pretty daggum good. And there's obviously there's more you can get out of him. I think that's what people were talking about when it comes to him, but it's not like he's out there and he's a major detriment for Mississippi State.
Right.
He's still a key piece for this team. And what you want for Mississippi State to really get to where it needs to be is, you know, Josh Hubbard needs to be more efficient when he gets those opportunities. But it's kind of crazy we bring it up a lot that he's struggling or that he's, you know, having a tough shooting stretch. And he's only had one game this year where he's had single-digit scoring, and that was 9 points against Vandy. He's still getting his points. You would like for the efficiency to be a little bit higher since he started SEC play, and we'll see what happens. I refuse to believe that he's going to be that inefficient, at least for his standards in SEC play. And like you said, I mean, I'm not taking him out of his game. Like I think that I would tell him, hey, there's no need to press. We have other options. When we need a bucket, RJ Melendez can go get a bucket. Caldo Harris, even Michael Nwoku, obviously Cam Matthews. We don't have to have you take a shot here to tie the game or to lower the deficit or extend the lead. You don't have to force anything bad up. If there's not a shot there to be made, mm-hmm. if there's not a lane to get to the rim, dish it off. Find somebody else. That's the conversation I would have with Josh is this isn't last year. We don't have to have you have a big moment for us. Now, if the play's there, that's still the guy I want the ball in his hands. You know, there's a conversation on our board about it right now. Like, what would you have done there late in the ball game? Does Hubbard need the ball in his hands? We need to give it up to somebody else. That's still the guy. If you had me pick a player on the roster, that's still the guy that I would want to have the ball. Now, Claudio Harris is right on his heels. Claudio Harris, I think, is a player that could be just as clutch as Josh Hubbard is. So I wouldn't be upset about either one of them, but I'm not at the point right now where I'm like, you got to get rid of the ball if you're Josh Hubbard. I still want with the game on the line, I still want the ball in his hands. But, yeah, still just wasn't the game that he wants, I'm sure. But there's going to be plenty of opportunities. This team's so mentally strong, and he's mentally strong. I feel like he's going to come up with some big moments down the stretch for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt about that. Big games are coming for Josh Hubbard. I don't have any doubt. I mean, it could happen as easily and as early as this week. You know, he's going to break out of whatever this slump is that he's been in. I just wonder, you know, the dynamic of the team around him. I just don't know. I feel like I said, I feel like he's maybe taken on a little bit too much responsibility at this point. This team has shown that they don't need him to go out and get 25, 27 points. Obviously, it would help. Yeah, you're if Hubbard's getting to 25, 27 points, you're probably – it's just like what happened last night with Kentucky. You're winning every game, almost every game you play. When you look at the upcoming schedule for Mississippi State, the next three have all turned into quad ones because Ole Miss's 3-0 start in conference play has them up to 22nd in the net. Now, they do play Alabama this week. My guess is that even a loss in that will not drop them – the 26th, it might not, but if it does, then it'd be quad two. But right now, as it stands, State's next three are quad one games. This game with Auburn is all of a sudden very interesting with the injury to Johnny Broome, the All-American, likely SEC Player of the Year candidate for the Tigers, rolled his ankle on Saturday. He's out indefinitely, but they said definitely out these next two games. All of a sudden, you get the chance to travel to Auburn, who will be probably, by the time you listen to this, the number one team in the nation. With Tennessee losing this week, Auburn should jump up to number one. Real opportunity to get a big win for Mississippi State. Again, you know, whatever happens with Broome, at the end of the season, nobody cares. They'll just say that you had a win over Auburn on the road. A chance to get another quad one win on the road, that would be four of those to this year. Big opportunity for Mississippi State. They got to bounce back quickly, and then they get Ole Miss on Saturday, their big rival at home. There just is no, you know, Jan said it last night, you don't get a lot of time to mourn a loss in the SEC this year.
No, that's why we've talked about it. Every single game is huge. Like, every SEC win you can get, cherish it. Because, like we said, there are no teams like last year's Missouri, even Georgia. Those two teams are greatly improved. South Carolina took Auburn to the wire, should have probably won that ball game, didn't make free throws down the stretch, and they lost. There's not – I mean, I think LSU's not very good. You know, that's probably the closest you're going to get to you feel like going in, you feel really good about it. Because all these games are just very, very difficult. On the road, at home, doesn't matter, especially on the road. And this is going to be tough. It obviously helps Mississippi State that Janai Broome's not, I imagine, not playing. They said that they think it's a sprain. Is that what the report was? Sprain?
Yeah, ankle? Bad sprain for Janai Broome. Yeah.
So that there's no way I see him playing on Tuesday.
Not Tuesday. Can't possibly
with a sprained ankle that didn't even allow him to walk off in his own power. So that obviously helps Mississippi State. Now without Riley Kugel, I don't know. And and we Cooper haven't talked was about able that, to yeah. play. Cooper was able to play with that dislocated finger, which is what we've kind of. I don't even know if Jan's talked about it, but asked around some today. It looks like a dislocation with his finger in the first half yesterday. Mm-hmm. He came back and played. So, mm-hmm.
but then he injured his ankle somehow.
Then he injured his ankle, which who knows what that is? That could have been a turned ankle sprain, like Janai. No, when it wasn't sprain, a bad sprain.
And just by happenstance, on my way out of the hump last night, I saw him. He's walking back from somewhere back down to the locker room. He was limping a little bit, but I just said, "Hey, how are you?" And he's like, "I'm fine. I'm just making it." Wasn't wearing a boot, wasn't wearing a cast or a brace or anything, just walking along. So, you know, just a first impression. I could be totally wrong, and they'll announce that he's out on Tuesday, but I think he's going to be okay.
I mean, we're looking at 4 days, 3 or 4 days, where he's going to have treatment, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he could come back. They desperately need him in this game. Without Riley Kugel, I like State's team, but that's just another guy that can handle the ball that's out with Kanye Clary. It would be very difficult. Auburn has some really good guard play. They're good everywhere. And, you know, Dylan Cardwell, I imagine, is going to step in. He'll be a big piece to have for Auburn with Janai Broome out. Last year, Cam Matthews really frustrated him, got him in foul trouble. That's what State has to happen in this game. They're going to have to get them – rattled early in the game, take the crowd out of it, get some of their size out of the ball game, and try to get really physical, I think, with them. You're going to have a lot of success early on in that game mm-hmm. to have a shot. But a good showing in this game and then heading into Saturday with, you know, you feel okay about yourself, you're not down on yourself, I think State's going to be fine. But this is a very tough stretch, man.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kentucky, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Alabama coming up. I mean, brutal. But and State's not the only team dealing with this. This is everybody. This is what the schedule is like this year. So for State, I think you're still trying to get to that 8 win total to feel really good about your standing. 8-9 wins. I'm kind of in countdown mode. With every SEC win that comes, you can check it off if you're Mississippi State as you get closer and closer to – I don't have any doubts that they're going to make the NCAA tournament, but it's about seeding, and you want to build your resume the best that you can to put yourself in the best possible matchups, and every win matters.
Especially when you talk about the resume. You just got to mention this next stretch. So quad one with Auburn, quad one right now with Ole Miss in Starkville. Next Tuesday, quad one because you're at Tennessee. It's quad two – for South Carolina. If they could have held on and beat Auburn, that might have jumped back up for you. But anyway, and then as you mentioned, a quad one with Alabama coming to Starkville on January 29th. So, I mean, just you can build your resume if you get some wins. You can just go ahead and put everything away. But at the same time, you're likely to take some losses in here too. And that's one of the things that you hate. You know, you talk about it, getting to 8 wins, right? This is a really good basketball team. Normal year in the SEC, they would win 12 games without any kind of issue. But here we are talking about, can they finish 2 games under .500? Because that's going to be good enough to get you in the NCAA tournament and get you a really good seed. It's a great season. It's not a big deal. It just feels like this team has – it deserves a little better finish than it may end up getting. But that being said, Robbie, we could look up next week and they find a way to beat Auburn. They beat Ole Miss at home, and then they're 4-1 going to Tennessee, who has shown you some chinks in the armor. They certainly got handled by Florida. Florida is playing like they may actually be the best team in the conference now that Broome's out. When Broome is healthy, Auburn is the best team. But if he's going to be out for an extended period, Florida could step into that. It's just
– Yeah, Auburn, when Broome went out, they just didn't look like the same kind of team. And he just changed everything for you.
They were losing when he went out, and they ended up coming back to win.
Yeah.
I think that's more South Carolina than anything else.
But I think they would have gotten it together. I think that delayed their stretch there. I think they would have gotten it together with Broome. But like, he's just a different kind of player. He can face you up and get to the rim. He can hit the mid range jumper. And a great rebounder, excellent defender. But it's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough battle. State won that game obviously at the hump last year against Auburn. And they lost in the SEC tournament and what was, I thought, a really good ball game, a chance to go to the SEC tournament championship. I think State's going to play their guts out. I'd be shocked if they didn't. This mm-hmm. team has played really hard, mm-hmm. Especially in these kind of games. But it's going to take a lot in this game. They're going to have to knock down shots. They're going to have to defend really well. That's one thing that Chris Jans has pointed out the last couple of weeks is this team just has not defended the three well. Mm-hmm. And he's tried to motivate them with it because he's got the analytics, all that stuff. And he told him, hey, we're one of the worst three-point defensive teams in the SEC. We got to get better at this. And that's what a great coach does. You don't State was 14-1, and everybody could be celebrating right now in that locker room and talking about how great they are. Chris Jans was looking for the things that they haven't done well to try to improve on. Because his ultimate goal is winning a championship. And if you want to win a championship, you better – lock up those things that you struggle with early on in this schedule, get it ready, lock it down, and get better as a team. Or when you get into March, you know, it's going to be tough. Yeah. So that's what they're working on right now. They got to be better at the perimeter defending. I like the effort that this team plays with. That's why I just don't have – even with this tough stretch right here, in years past, I might worry about how Mississippi State handles this. But this team, I just feel like even if they take some lumps here, I feel like they're going to be able to come out of this and still have confidence and still be able to kind of get back in the fight. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out because you're about to play virtually, you know, the top half of the SEC schedule here in the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. On the other side of the hump there, the Mississippi State women's basketball, when we last recorded, they were 0-2 in the conference and had not played very well. Now they're 2-2 in the conference and coming off of an upset over a top 10 team and a game where they go on the road, Robbie, and they basically controlled the game throughout against Georgia. Really nice little quick turnaround here for this ladies team.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of a trap game, if you will, with Tennessee coming up on Thursday. You just got the big win over Oklahoma. Last time they went to Georgia, they got destroyed, and easily Sam Purcell's worst showing since he's been here. I think they scored 35 points, lost that game by 30 plus. So Georgia can muddy up a ball game. They're a team that really likes to play zone defense, and they'll frustrate you in that regard. I thought what the difference was in this game is that soft zone where they were kind of making sure that Medina Okot didn't beat them in the first half, making sure that Jakayla Jordan and Aya Russell didn't get to the rim. They kind of played that soft zone, and State threw up the threes and they went in. And that hasn't happened for Mississippi State a lot this year. I think they had 3 games of 10 or more threes coming in. They go 14 of 29 in this ballgame, hit 11 three-pointers in the first half. They had 2 different stretches in the first half where they made 3 or more 3-pointers. And that allowed them to get some distance. I know Georgia's sitting around kicking themselves because they had the right game plan. This is not a great 3-point shooting team. Mm-hmm. The game plan was make them shoot threes, keep them from penetrating in the lane, drawing fouls, and dominating with their 6'6" big girl. And it just didn't work. State was able to hit the 3-point shots, and Aya Russell with 21 points. 4 3-pointers. She has not shot the three extremely well, but she went off in this one. 9 assists and 6 rebounds. She's kind of playing the part of Cam Matthews doing it all. And then Medina Okot, I thought, really kind of asserted her will in the second half. She had 19 points and 12 rebounds. Was a problem for Georgia. Affected a lot of shots on that end. So it was a good road win. It's just like the men's. I don't think the SEC in women's is as deep as the men's conference is, but very top heavy, and it still is tough to go win on the road. Getting a double-digit win on the road is huge because I'm the same way with the women as I am the men. I'm just kind of counting down every win they get. Mm-hmm. And for the women, it's kind of like you need to get to 7 or 8 to make the NCAA tournament. So they're in a little bit different position. I don't think they're going to have quite the resume that the men do, but I still think that they got an opportunity to get into the tournament. They can get to 20-21 wins. Mm-hmm. This should be an NCAA tournament team, and getting out of this first stretch, these first 4 games, 2-2, is a win for them. Now they need to go 1-1 this week. So can you win one of two against Tennessee or Ole Miss? That's going to be a tremendous challenge to do. But that's the challenge to get here. You really need to win one of these next two, keep your head above water at 3-3 in the league, and I think you're in solid shape.
Going back to the game on Thursday against Oklahoma, you know, that was a game, I think it's, at one point it was kind of like the South Carolina game. The state got out to a lead, and then Oklahoma gets their way back into it, and then they have the lead. What was obviously South Carolina is a much better team than Oklahoma, but beyond that, what was different about Mississippi State in that game?
Made shots when they needed it. They, if you look back at the South Carolina game, State goes up by 11. I think it was midway through. Yeah, it was about 4.5 minutes in the first half. They were up by 11 points. South Carolina comes back, goes on a 34-2 run. State didn't score a field goal for 10 minutes of game action. That was the killer for them. They got stagnant on offense. We saw it some last year. This team has a tendency to do that. They did it in the Georgia game too. Mm-hmm. So they got stagnant on offense. They couldn't get points. I thought against Oklahoma did go on a, I think, a 17-2 run. State went up by 14, and Oklahoma went on a 17-2 run, 19-2, one of the two. And State was able to kind of get a little bit of momentum late in the third quarter against Oklahoma. And they closed the third quarter really strong and took that into the fourth quarter. That's how they won that game. This team, in those kind of situations, they got to have something to break up the mundane, to kind of break up those quiet periods or those droughts that they have. Somebody's got to hit a big shot. Somebody's got to get a steal and a score or something. And that was kind of the difference in that game. I felt like State made some shots when they needed to make them. And that's really how you stop those long periods of droughts that you have. And you're able to kind of keep your composure, keep your confidence. Because I thought against South Carolina, they just lost their confidence. So it was good to see that bounce back. They learned from the South Carolina game and put that into play against Oklahoma, and they didn't let it get them down. I thought they did that last year. When things went bad during that stretch of like six straight losses or whatever it was, they kind of thought back to the moments that had happened in the previous few games. And this one, I thought they did a good job of kind of putting that behind them.
Good wins for Mississippi State women. And like I said, just trying to grind their way to that near 500 mark, put themselves into a position for an NCAA tournament berth. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. That's where Robbie and I were on Saturday, and that place was packed. Kudos to the Tip Off Society. Kudos to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great environment pregame for the Kentucky game. A lot of folks having a good time, and you'll have a good time every time you're at Two Brothers Smoked Meats because it's a fantastic place to eat, as is the older brother, Starkville's home of the fancy sandwich. Saw one of our listeners, one of our friends on Twitter, Brian CTP, made a trip to the older brother this week. And there you go. You can't go wrong with either one of those places. If you're looking for a great lunch, great dinner in Starkville, head to the Cotton District for Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service on anything they've sold you, it's the same number. It's not a new number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not on hold for 45 minutes. It's not, we'll make an appointment for you and it'll be there in a week to 10 days. It's none of that. It's the same people who made you the sale, and they're going to be able to get out to you a lot of times the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any games in Starkville, you need to make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Talk to somebody at the game. They're like, hey, I went to Maroon & Co. Use the promo code. They were like, we got you. That's great to hear. Glad you guys are using that code and shopping locally and saving some money with our promo code at Maroon & Co., Thunder15. It's 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply, but they're few and far between. You'll be able to get what you want. When you are headed to Starkville, if you're going to watch Mississippi State play and you need some new gear, or even if you don't really need it and you just want it, just go get it. It's at Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie, back into the transfer portal. Mississippi State got the guy that you kind of had your eye on these past week or so. Ever since Aiden Williams went into the portal from Ole Miss, that's been a name that has been very heavily connected to Mississippi State. Visits this past week and makes his commitment. State needs receivers. They definitely they're not getting production here, but they are getting a lot of potential, and you really, really like the potential of Aiden Williams.
Yeah, I do. I thought coming out of high school, I thought future NFL guy. I mean, it just had the measurables. I love the hands. I love how fluid of an athlete that he is. I think he's a good route runner too. For whatever reason, it just didn't work at Ole Miss. I thought it would. I thought he would be a really good fit for what they do offensively. I think, to me, what it really boils down to is Ole Miss going and getting older players out of the transfer portal and him just kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. Because this is a guy, the last two off seasons, whether it be in the spring or the training camp, I don't want to say fall camp, I'm going to upset you. In training camp, he's been a guy that you look at the reports from Ole Miss media, and they were just, you know, loving what he was doing in practices. So he has impressed. He just didn't translate to the field.
Right.
But we did see a couple of big plays from him when he got his number called. Mm. I think new start, fresh start, Mississippi State's probably going to give him a lot more opportunities. There's not the loaded receiver core like Ole Miss has, where they just don't have a lot of reps to go around. And their offense has shown, too, the ball doesn't really go around to a ton of receivers. It's kind of log jammed to three or four. So with him being at Mississippi State, I think he has a chance to be State's leading outside receiver. Give him some confidence early and see what he can do, because I really feel like the potential with him is extremely high. I would be surprised if it didn't work out for him at Mississippi State, too. I think this could be a good fit for him. Offense isn't going to be all that different.
This is a guy we think would go into a Kari spot, correct?
Yes. That should be right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you're still looking for a legit slot guy, and I think the slot is kind of where it all transpires for Mississippi State and Jeff Levy's offense.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the slots that he's produced over the years. That's the position that really gets most of the targets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're trying to get now. But I feel like Aiden Williams is a guy, he can win one-on-one battles down the field. He can move the chains. Physical guy, he's over 200 pounds, 6'3". Like I said, strong hands. I think that this is a great fit for Mississippi State. But all these guys that they're picking up are – they're taking a chance. I mean, I like the potential of some of these players, but we just don't know yet. I think that they can fit them into this offense and they can have some production, but the production hasn't really been there, or it's been on a much smaller scale. So that's what you're waiting to see now, is how it all fits. But I like the potential there and what they could potentially get out of Aiden Williams, his position.
When we talk about the slot position, the name that we've heard so much about is Anthony Evans, the receiver out of Georgia. I'm seeing something today on message boards that apparently he had a death in the family over the week, and that's kind of why he's delayed any possible commitment. The last I heard from Mississippi State sources that they feel very confident in their ability to get him into this class, but I'm going to let him obviously have the time with his family at this moment to get through that and then worry about football down the road. We also got some word over the weekend that Mississippi State back into the junior college ranks, trying to bring a player in, a cornerback. Now, this is one of those JUCO players that Mississippi State has had some success with in previous administrations, and that name is Jaden Lawton. He is a D1 dropdown, so he played at SMU, then ends up at JUCO, and now is back into the recruiting process for major colleges. So sort of the similar, you know, scenario that Jonathan Abram and Montez Sweat, that the path that they followed. So right off the bat, I'm automatically higher on him than I would be on a normal JUCO player, because he's already played at this level, should have some experience with that. And at the cornerback position, Robbie, at this point, it really feels like beggars really can't afford to be choosers. If he's interested in Mississippi State, I expect him to get that offer and get into this class.
Yeah, he's a solid player. Watched his film, has production. It's just if there was anybody else that they had landed that had really proven themselves as like a first string cornerback, I would have, you know, absolutely no reservations. I really don't have any reservations about this either, but I would feel a lot better about Mississippi State's cornerbacks had they already landed guys that have truly proven it. And so far they haven't. You have an NAIA guy that you brought in. You have a guy that was fairly productive, but he wasn't starting at Kennesaw State. I just don't have a lot of confidence in this group right now, but you're getting bodies in there. That's better than nothing. You added some junior college guys. You've added a couple of transfer portal players. You got some bodies. You have some measurements too. I feel like they're trying to get more physical at that position. So we'll see what happens with it. I don't have a problem taking this kid at all. I like what I've seen from him. Has a couple of good offers. And I think that's a battle State should win if they want this kid. You're competing with Liberty, I think, and UNLV, I believe, with Dan Mullen.
I might get
this is
him.
A Dan Mullen special.
I will tell you that the quarterback they got this weekend, the kid from Michigan, I mean, it's like they just – it's like Ralph 2.0. I bet he's automatic. Yeah. I guarantee he's successful at UNLV.
Well, you know, Dan loved that kid. Just like just looking at his, like, the attributes, like, that's – he was probably just slobbered.
Not a great passer, but can run the football, and is good enough in the passing game. So, we'll see what happens with this. And, it goes back to something you've been saying a lot of. If State was after this kid, this Lawton kid, and they already had a productive cornerback in the boat, you'd be like, man, this is a great depth piece for Mississippi State. He'll be a fantastic corner, third or fourth corner. But when you're talking about him possibly coming in as a starter, that's when you're going, well, we'll see. But, I mean, at this point in the game, I don't buy into the idea that there's just going to be a few guys available in the spring window that are worth bringing in. I'm just not going to buy into that. That's what we were told last year, and it ended up not being the case at all on the defensive side of the ball. You did get Devon Booth in the spring window, but I feel like that was an anomaly more than anything else. The guys you bring in for spring are the guys who are going to contribute for you this season.
Well, look at Devon Booth. It took him probably
4 or 5 weeks.
4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much that was Mississippi State's offense and how much it was Devon, or if he wasn't getting enough reps to really – because they were really splitting those reps up with the running backs. And I don't know if they ever got a chance to really get in a rhythm. But all that to say, he didn't look like the same player in the second half as he did in the first half. He was a much more capable back late in the season. So it's definitely – it behooves these players to get here in the spring. Excellent word for me.
Behooves, you
That's
say.
Correct.
Very
That's
good.
Correct. Excellent word for me.
Outstanding.
Yes. So,
top five words you've ever said on this podcast.
You think so?
I think so.
I wouldn't even know where to start ranking those.
You're not very loquacious.
Loquacious. That's a word that I have – I don't know if I've ever even uttered that word, to be honest with you.
That's great.
Yep. Yeah. So, right. But, yeah, I think that it's certainly – like the guys that you bring in the spring, outside of maybe, you know, one or two, those are going to be the guys that I feel like are going to contribute the most. And then the others are probably going to be depth pieces. I mean, you can't bank on going out there and getting difference makers in the summer. You can't bank on that. And Mississippi State, like you said, I think Devon Booth was the only one that made a difference that they got that late. I don't know who all they got late, but I'm not banking on that. I think this class is just about put together. You just need a few positions here and there.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Tomorrow's show, we'll talk some more hoops. We'll get some a look ahead to State's game against the Auburn Tigers. Big game this weekend, or I'm sorry, this week with them. And then, of course, as the week goes on, we'll talk about Ole Miss in a little bit more depth as well. Guys, have a great Monday. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.